Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody jump, jump.
Good Monday morning to one and all. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocky Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Mike and Pete across the way, Bogish, with your updates as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 Pacific. Taz, good morning, brother. How are you, man?
Good, Moose. Good. Everything's good, man. Looking forward to a great week of shows here with you and I doing our thing as we barrel straight forward ahead from Monday all the way to the week. It's going to be great.
It's going to be a good week.
I'm fired up.
You're fired up
just
on a Monday morning.
Fired up today, buddy. I'm telling you right now.
There you go. Very nice. Well, that's a good way to start the show.
I'm getting too ahead of myself.
I can't believe I'm saying it, but Tiger Woods is 2019 Masters champion, which was an unbelievable morning, as it turned out, with the start time of the final round moved up until first tee off was 7:30 yesterday morning, and Tiger teed off shortly before 9:30 a.m. Eastern time yesterday morning. So not your traditional tee time, and they did do threesomes, in terms of the final round as well, in order to make sure, and we're doing split tees. So some guys were teeing off on the 10th, some guys were teeing off on the first hole in order to get the round in, which was interesting. And I've got kind of a theory about that I'll throw at you a little bit later on.
All right,
Taz. But for Tiger, it was calm, cool, collected. And really, I mean, we would not be sitting here if, Francisco Molinari didn't put the ball into the drink in Reese Creek.
Yep.
If he did not have what transpired into being an absolute disaster on the 15th as well, in which he put the ball in the water after he hit a tree. That really led a lot of people back into it, and Tiger even admitted so a couple hours after, putting on that green jacket when he met with the media down at Augusta National. But put all that aside, I mean, Tiger Woods, who hit that great approach shot on the 16th, the par 3, over the pond, an amazing morning into early afternoon on a Sunday at 43 years of age. Tiger Woods, who was telling people in 2017 at the Champions Dinner down at Augusta National that he thought his days of playing competitive golf were over, that his back was just so messed up that he was not going to be able to go out there and play. A couple years later, he's your Masters champion, and he wins his 15th major of his career. Brings into the conversation once again in terms of him challenging Jack's all-time mark of 18, Jack Nicklaus, that is. But yesterday, just a flood of emotions and what a scene at Augusta National. I can't believe I'm saying it, but he's a champion at Augusta National once again.
Amazing. It really is an amazing comeback story by Woods. I watched it just like most of everybody else, and it was just awe-inspiring. To see that, Molinari made that mistake, and of course Woods capitalized on it like all the greats do, no matter what sport it is. That someone makes a mistake, boom, you're going to capitalize. But it's all about the emotions, too. I mean, besides coming back from the injuries and all the stuff that he had going on and personal issues, but seeing, Tiger Woods hug his son, and when you go back to 1997 when he won the Masters, where he hugged his dad, who's no longer with us, obviously. And it was kind of like, and I thought that the TV network did a great job explaining that, telling that story too. But it was like from a son hugging his dad, and now years later, the dad hugging his little boy, his young son got to watch him win the Masters. Yeah, we didn't think, I don't speak for you, Moose, but I don't think most of us thought about this guy ever winning after everything he's been through, Tiger Woods, a Masters. And you know what? As you know, and I know we'll get into this at some point today, he might not be done. The summer might be. He might be have another Masters win, another big one coming up here soon.
Yeah, another major. You're having, the PGA is going to be at Bethpage. The U.S. Open will be at Pebble Beach. He's won on both courses, won majors on both courses as well, and that's Bethpage Black out there in Long Island. So I mean, Taz, if you go down to that, you know, that faithful, what was it, Thanksgiving night where he gets into it with his ex-wife and everything that proceeded after that, the sex scandal, and then all the, you know, him going into therapy, and then all the, you know, his personal life getting thrown out there for everyone to dissect and break down, and then, you know, sponsors leaving him, and him having that that strange presser, and then all the surgeries and his body breaking down, and one surgery after another, whether it be the knee, whether it be the back, whether it be the back again. I mean, and then to get to this point, it's just, you know, remarkable. I mean, it really is, to go 11 years in between major victories. I mean, the last time he won a major, well, he was 32 years of age. He's got 11 years, and now is at 43 to come back and win it. Obviously, has got a lot more game than when Jack did it at 46 years of age down in Augusta. That was 1986 that he did that, and that great back nine. And we all, you know, you hear it on the, and see it in the highlight packages all the time. The putt in which you hear Vern going, "Yes, sir," and Jack raising his arm up, his left arm, I believe it was, up in the air. And that was a back nine putt where, you know, you saw the great magic of Jack in 86. And that was one where Tiger referenced yesterday. That was his first memory of watching the Masters, was that 86 run by Jack. And then to have him do what he did yesterday, it wasn't 86 Jack, but what he did do was, you know, he played safe golf and he enabled others to kind of, you know, implode or make mistakes. I mean, Molinari played errorless golf for 54 holes, and he went there yesterday, and he had a bogey, and he had a double bogey, and he was paired in, and he was, you know, in the same grouping with Tiger Woods. Tony Finau had an unbelievable Saturday. He's all of a sudden in the final grouping, which he said it was a dream come true to play in the final group out. In the same group with Tiger Woods, said something he dreamed about. This is a 29-year-old golfer, can hit a country mile, father of four, who had an unbelievable day on Saturday to put him in that position, Taz. And so you look at that scenario and you say, you know, Tiger, what he did do was early on, it wasn't like he came storming back on the back nine, but what he did do was he pretty much played, you know, mistake-free golf aside from what you saw on the 10th. And he played safe golf and understood what he needed to do and when to take chances. His iron play was fantastic. He made the putts that he needed to make. And he cemented it home on what was an unbelievable approach shot on the 16th.
You broke it down perfectly, Moose. And, you know, the main thing, though, to me, like just watching him, was his poise, right? He just kept, no matter what, he kept his composure. He kept his poise. I mean, he was dialed in, locked in, no matter if something negative would happen to him. You know, while he was playing, he kept his head about him, kept his poise. You're right, his iron play was unbelievable for sure. Yeah, he was just, you know, he was awesome, and it was an awesome thing to watch. You think about it, no matter if you're an athlete or not, maybe you've had an injury or a surgery or something happened at work or when you were younger as a kid, whatever. And when you come back from it, sometimes it's a little tougher to do. To do what this guy's done and what he's dealt with through the past 11 years, you know, and a lot of it's self-inflicted, right? We know that. I mean, some of it is, but I mean, from his body being busted up with the back and all that stuff, and he looks great. When you look at him, he looks great. He's obviously training nonstop because he's in great shape. The guy really don't age when you look at him. He looks tremendous to me.
With the hat on.
When he
takes the hat
that's
off.
That's a very good point. Yeah, when he was in the room there.
When he takes the hat off.
Well, when he gave him the green jacket in the room and he had the hat off.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. He looks like he's 25 years of age when he's got the Nike hat on. He takes the Nike hat off, and that happens.
It's like
with
he's 74.
Right? Yeah.
Against 74.
No, but you know what I mean. Taz,
like he's got plugs.
Right, he's never.
Guys with plugs in
right,
their head?
Yeah. He's never. The one thing that's been there, Taz, is, you know, and he can't hit it as far as Brooks Koepka, and he can't do that. But what he has improved on, and if you're going to look at some numbers in terms of why Tiger was victorious, was because he was able to control his driver and his three wood off of the tee. He hit 63% of fairways over the course of 4 days. I mean, that is something, you know, that was something that was not hand in hand with Tiger after all of these surgeries. You know, he was very, very wayward.
Right.
He could not be consistent with that drive, consistent with his, off the tee in terms of hitting fairways. And, You know, and certainly you look at Augusta National and some are going to say, well, if you can play well at Augusta National at 25, you're going to play well if you're 42, 43 years of age. Yeah, to an extent. I mean, as long as you can, as long as you can drive the golf ball, because you have to be creative at times. There are going to be times where you hit the ball right or left and you've got to do what you can do to scramble and be able to save par. And you have to be very creative as a golfer. It doesn't work hand in hand with these robotic golfers like Koepka and Johnson, even though they played well and both finished at 12 under par.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be a little creative, and Tiger Woods has certainly been a creative guy, Taz. But, yes, he has certainly kept his body in shape. I mean, he was asked after the round, I don't know if you saw this, on Saturday night, you know, what is your Sunday going to look like now with the tee time right around 9:25, 9:30? And he said, well, I'm going to be up at 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning to get my body ready to play a round of golf. He goes, that's what I need to do. And even after he won on yesterday, he said, I'll promise you one thing. I'm pretty sore right now. I'm not going to be hitting golf balls on Monday. So his body clearly is not nearly what it once was, but he knows what he needs to do to get himself ready to now play championship caliber golf.
You're exactly right. Like any athlete could tell you, and anybody who like works out, any male or female who works out on a regular basis, as you get older, your recovery time takes longer. That's just evolution of the body. It's just no matter what kind of shape you're in, the recovery time takes longer. So, you know, for the average guy or girl watching these guys play golf, like, that stuff doesn't look that hard. No, that's hard. There's a lot of stress involved. There's a lot on your body. When these guys are driving the ball, they're putting everything from their hips, from everything, every muscle in their legs, everything in their body is talking through that ball, and the stress level is very high, which can break you down. So as you get older, all that stuff takes a toll on you. So yeah, I didn't see him say what you said about the 3:45 a.m. thing, but I believe that. Yeah, I mean he's got to he probably had to change everything for over the years and to get himself to play different. Because when you're younger, you know you could just. Yeah, you can just do what you got to do. You go out, party the night before, maybe go play a sport, whatever sport you play, or go to work the next day. As you get older, it's a little hard to do that.
Well, yeah, and the
unless
story,
you're Mikey B. You
well, know, right, and the stories when he was in his 20s, who, you know, where they'd rent a house and the house would be a mess and he'd be ordering, you know, takeout and they'd be playing video. I mean, you know, now it's completely different, to the point where, you know, he's convincing his daughter, who I guess was playing, I forget
soccer.
What the name, soccer, right.
And they lost the states.
Right, lost in states, but he was convincing her to come take hop on a flight to come down to Augusta National.
Yeah, I don't
to
think she was flying
around.
Domestic, though. I don't think, you know what I mean?
But I mean to hop on a jet to head over to Augusta National to watch his final round. I mean, so you look at where Tiger Woods was then to where Tiger Woods is now, and you know, everybody loves a comeback story. I mean, and I do think there are people that still, after, you know, you learned a lot about Tiger Woods, the person, I think he's more humble now than he's ever been before, but still have a hard time. There are a lot of people that root for Tiger because you root for his brilliance, and certainly there were a lot of roars yesterday, Taz, but I think there were a lot of people yesterday that were rooting against Tiger because you learned about what made the person up. And people can evolve and change, but what made that person not necessarily the best person in the world years gone by?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
Because I think there were a lot of people on Twitter yesterday reacting, and I certainly sent out a tweet. I was happy that Tiger Woods won. I've always been a Woods fan.
Right.
I never thought it would happen. I thought after everything transpired, I thought it was done. So I'm not going to tell you that I thought this day would ever happen. But I do know a lot of people that could not stand the fact that Tiger Woods, really weren't buying into the comeback performance. That looked at him as a person and the way that he treated people when he was at the top, and don't necessarily think that he's changed all that much. Just the fact that, you know, he's kind of playing the game now, which I don't know. I mean, we watch brilliance, right? We watch sports to watch great golfers play at their best. I don't think I'll ever see a golfer play better than Tiger Woods at his peak.
I'm with you on that. Hey, I'm like anybody else. I love a great redemption story, too. I mean, sure. I mean, but I can understand that the haters, not that they should hate, but where they don't buy in and not believe in it. You know what? This is the way this guy was. People, but you laid it out perfect. Once people change, no matter if you're getting older or not, that's usually when change happens. You get humble and things happen in your life. You reflect back on things in your life. I mean, you know, he's had a long, unbelievably successful career as far as a golfer. And like we laid out a lot of the other stuff that went on in his life, but you know, he's been through a lot, negative and positive. So, you know, and he's a dad, and his kids are getting older, and, you know.
Sure, it's, I mean, right. You know. And that angle is one thing. I mean, with his, you know, the embrace with his son, as you mentioned, was, you know, gut-wrenching.
It was cool, yeah. It was
cool. But I saw people tweet out, you know, I was brought to tears. I mean, it was an emotional moment. I don't know if I was necessarily brought to tears.
I wasn't brought to tears.
Watching him hug his son and then walk in front of his son.
Well,
not high-fiving anybody.
Oh, his whole family. He blew everybody off. And his wife, his mom just walked in front of
his girlfriend.
I
got to
go
mom.
Sign the card. I know you got to sign the card.
No,
sir,
I understand. But doing, like bro? He's said to my wife, I mean, everyone's holding out their hands.
He's blowing them off.
He's blowing them off.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
He high-fived, I think, two people as he was making his way thing. They're all holding out their hands. And then, like, he starts walking like
100 miles an hour
in front of his son, and his son's walking by himself. Like, like, I found that to be a little weird. And I understand it's the moment. I get it, but, you know,
no, you're right.
Fathers, I found that to be a little weird.
I found it very weird. I mean, a greater picture of him arm in arm holding his son and his daughter, you know, and his girlfriend and his mom, maybe right there towing behind or something, or just walking together, maybe high five a few of the people that have been standing in the rain for hours to watch you, you know?
Well, I mean, or even go around the green and start high-fiving people or doing that. And you know, you have everybody, as Dustin Johnson said, you know, after his round, or was it, it was Dustin Johnson. He goes, listen, when I hit a putt, there's a roar. You know, you could tell on this course, when Tiger hits something, there's an unbelievable roar. There was this great outpouring, and there was great outpouring for him in terms of him and his reaction with LaCava, his caddy,
yeah.
And certainly his friends and family. His agent was there as well.
Right, right.
I get that, and I'm sure he was happy, right? He was ecstatic, every agent probably would be. I just found that weird after the hug and the embrace that he was now like kind of holding his son's hand, or even walking next to his son, or even high-fiving people as he was walking to go sign his card. I found that to be a little weird.
Instead, he was competing against his son in a race. He beat him. Like, kid is trying to, like, catch up with him. It was weird.
So
it was.
Hit that to be weird as well.
I thought it was just me who noticed it. You know, at times I could be negative, so I didn't want to say nothing. But you know what? It's nice to hear some more negativity on the show here from you, Miss. You know? It's awesome. I think we need more of that. No, dude, I did notice
that. I just found that
to
be weird.
Especially the high-fiving the people. Listen, that's a huge moment here, right? You know, you're stoic throughout your play. You're chomping on gum nonstop. You're stressed. You're not saying nothing. I respect that. We all get it. It's over. He showed emotion as soon as he won. And that was awesome emotion out of him. Oh, my God, I won. You know, everybody was cheering. His fist pumping, the whole thing. And that was very cool. But you know what? Those people that were behind him and loved him.
Oh, my God.
Don't be a heel. Throw a high five here.
Right. You know I mean? Well, or put your hands out.
Just walk
with your hands out, and you'll be able to high five basically everybody that's holding out their hands.
Steady. They didn't want
to
touch
them. They're not looking for an autograph. They just want, you know, a little bit of love at that stage. They showed you so much love. Now, people will be like, you guys are nitpicking. I mean, what's the big deal?
That's what we do. We nitpick.
But you know what? Hello. Here's the deal. Yeah. It's a little weird because I'm watching with my wife, Donna, and she hates golf, as I talked about.
Yeah, my wife hates golf,
right,
too.
So can't stand it, right? So, and she doesn't like Tiger Woods because she's one of those that says, you know, it's difficult for me to root for him because I don't think he's a good person, right? So and I know people can change, but hearing everything that, and how, it has nothing to do with the sex scandal. It's just how he treated people when he was at the top of his game.
Right.
So it's not necessarily like Donna was rooting for him, but then she was like, oh, that's a nice moment, him hugging his son. That's going to be great. And then she's like, why is he walking in front of his son like that?
I'm like,
you know what? That's a really
good
point.
His mother. What about his mother? His mother was there. She's not a young lady, and it's raining in the mud, and like his mother is probably trekking through the mud, dragging her feet. The girlfriend's trying to help the mother.
The mother
needs cleats because it's muddy. It's like, what is going on, Tiger? Help her. And lend her your spikes that you're wearing. I mean, it was that part was weird.
But I don't think, you know, it's as for a morning, and I'm sure it certainly hurt ratings, and we'll get into that as well. Mm. I mean, you want to talk about a disaster for CBS. You have Tiger Woods win a major, and that final round tees off with threesomes, and he tees off at 9:30 on a Sunday morning. Now, I get, you know, you got people going to church on Sunday mornings. You got everything like that.
People at the diner.
Think about what the rating difference, though, Taz. If you're going there, you're watching that at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, as compared to if that was your traditional Sunday, Tiger in the final pairing, and that round is ending at 6:45, 7 o'clock at night. You want to talk about eyeballs on the sets?
Absolutely.
I mean, it is drastically different because you're thinking about people have got, if you've got kids, you've got stuff to go to, if you're going to church, whatever it might be.
Of
I mean,
course,
people
right.
have got stuff
it's
to go
weekend.
To.
It's a weekend. People doing things.
Right, exactly. On Sunday night, you have so many more people at 6 yeah. o'clock to 7 o'clock on a Sunday
that are locked
night
in.
That are home.
Right, they're home.
They're yeah. ready. They're wrapping up the weekend as compared to 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning.
And the
or
bulk,
even 2 in the afternoon when that match ended.
And if somebody from... if they might think, well, we're competing against the NBA. Well, I think the NBA fan's a different fan than the golf fan. So I don't know if you're really competing against the NBA. Besides NHL and NBA, that's the only thing that was going on sports-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, besides your regional MLB team, you know. But you know... yeah, no, I think you're right about that. The numbers probably, if it was on later for sure, because it's so early on a Sunday, you know, a lot of people might have skipped their mind until they flip it through the TV. It's like, oh, whoa, I forgot it's on. But
right.
a casual fan, that's what's going to happen.
If you weren't locked in on Saturday and weren't locked in late on Saturday when they made the announcement, you probably woke up Sunday and say, wait a second, golf
yeah.
is on?
Yeah. What's Tiger doing? Is this a replay from
right,
yesterday?
Exactly.
What's going on here?
Well, it plays to the point. There was a picture yesterday, Yankee Stadium. The Yankees lost, who have been a disaster. The White Sox yesterday, and Tanaka gave up a grand slam.
Tanaka.
But there was a picture. Sure. The Yankees in straightaway center field have got a bar. Right? In straightaway center field, they've got a bar. And there was a picture of Yankee fans surrounding that bar, watching Tiger and the Masters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From, you know, when that first pitch of the Yankee game, I think it was 105, watching the final round of the Masters
That's
as
cool.
their backs are toward home plate as the game is going on. Isn't that insane?
That is pretty cool. Yeah,
think
that's
about
cool.
that. The yeah. roars going on in center field at Yankee Stadium yesterday had nothing to do with baseball.
Yeah, they weren't cheering for the Yankees. They didn't do that well. But no, but that's cool. That is cool.
Is it the greatest comeback of all time in sports history? We'll get into that next. It's Taz and Moose on a Monday morning. The big news, it's national news. It's not just sports news. Is the resurgence and the comeback of Tiger Woods, your 2019 Masters champion. We'll hear from Tiger as well in some of his post-match, post-tournament comments yesterday, last night, down at Augusta National. It's Taz of the Moose on a Monday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Well, Moose, when it's time to make a hire for your small business, you want to find the best person for the job, and odds are that person's on LinkedIn. LinkedIn makes it easy to match with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. LinkedIn uses knowledge of both hard and soft skills to match you with the people who fit your role the best. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. Your matches are based on skills and background, interests, activities, and passions, so you get a group of the most relevant qualified candidates for your role. That way, you could focus on the candidates you want to spend time talking to and make a quality hire you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires. Post a job today at LinkedIn.com/Taz and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/TAZ. Terms and conditions apply.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, doing more brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. How about Damian Lillard, the all-star guard, scored 30 points to lead the Blazers, the Trailblazers, that is, over the Thunder, 104-99. Game one of their first-round series in Portland yesterday afternoon. We're talking Tiger Woods. We'll get into whether or not it's the greatest or, you know, where do you rank it in terms of comeback sports, comeback stories in sports history here momentarily. Bogus is in the house.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Yeah. What's going on?
Thank you.
It's odd. I've never seen what's happening right now, Moose, ever.
What's that?
When it comes to this, the update guy, Andrew Bogus.
He's wearing a t-shirt. Yeah.
Wow.
I've worn t-shirts before.
Really?
Uh-huh.
All right, take it away. What? I'm not here, though.
I have a whole drawer full of summer T-shirts that will be start making the rounds here momentarily. It's like, almost warm enough for T-shirts. Nice T-shirts.
I thought only on-air talent could do this, Moose. That's what I thought. I mean,
hi.
Is he really on-air talent?
Yes, he is on-air talent.
Hello.
That's on. Hello.
Mike.
Yes.
The mic.
Hello.
Yes.
Check one. Sibilance.
I want to make sure. Usually you're dressed very nice. I just was.
Yeah.
You're not dressed like a host. Well, I have usually dressed like bums.
I have a topical shirt on today, so that's part of the reason.
Okay. You waiting for me
had
to
a
ask.
Sweater
I know what
on
the shirt
top.
Is, but
I took the sweater off because it was hot. So, yeah. It's a lot going on.
All right, no problem.
Yeah, thanks for checking.
You look good. Right.
I'm glad you noticed, at least the very least.
Yeah, well,
good or bad.
I'm doing everything in my power. Yeah, not
good job
to,
by you. I was not observant to that.
No, I'm trying to do everything in my power, Moose, not to say something sarcastic about his physique, but because I some people say I'm condescending to the staff here, and I'm mean and all this stuff, all these negative adjectives, and I'm like old school Tiger Woods here. And I don't want to do that.
What do you want to say? Schmedium?
No, I'm not going to say nothing. You look fabulous.
I should do some push-ups.
Okay. You look great. That's it. All right. Yeah, take
Very
it away.
Nice.
All right,
Go
take
ahead.
It away.
Thanks,
take
Moose. Here's a report sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Plenty happened yesterday after
Tiger Woods
won his fifth majors. That was Anne Liguori from Augusta. We'll get back to her and him at the Masters in just a minute. But first, we check in on Giannis and his Bucks. 121-86 destruction of the Pistons in their game one in Milwaukee last night. Giannis, 24 points and 17 boards in 23 minutes. Andre Drummond had enough by the third quarter, shoving Giannis to the court after he grabbed an offensive rebound.
After further review, the officials have ruled it is a flagrant penalty two.
He's gone.
On Andre Drummond, he has been ejected.
Yep, flagrant two, and there goes Drummond.
Goodbye. See ya.
Ted Davis, Dennis Krause, an unnamed PA man on Bucks radio. Apparently Drummond blew kisses to the fans on his way out. He was ejected on top of Blake Griffin, missing this game with his knee injury. And again, the Bucks won it 121-86. The Rockets then ran over the Jazz in their opener 122-90. James Harden, 29 points and 10 assists. Any drama was in the afternoon. The Blazers outscored the Thunder 104-99 with Damian Lillard scoring 30. And the Celtics put down the Pacers 84-74, Boston winning despite a season low for points and committing 20 turnovers, partly because Indy scored just 8 points in the third quarter. A pair of game twos tonight, the Sixers and Nets in Philly at 8 Eastern, the Warriors and Clippers in Oakland around 10:30. Lakers GM Rob Pelinka expected to interview Sixers assistant Monty Williams and Heat assistant Juwan Howard this week for his head coaching vacancy. NHL playoffs, a huge night for Mark Stone.
Stastny, meanwhile, steals it away. Here's Stone, feeds right, shot, kick save, rebound in front, they score! Another one! It's Mark Stone! 5-1 Golden Knights, 36 seconds into the period.
That's Dan Duva on Golden Knights Radio. Vegas, a 6-3 win over San Jose for a 2-1 series lead. Stone scored three, set up two others. The Jets, a 6-3 win in St. Louis. They now trail the Blues 2-1. And the top-seeded Lightning, almost dead, a 3-1 loss in Columbus. The Blue Jackets can sweep tomorrow night. Taz's Islanders, a 3-0 lead on the Penguins.
Fire,
after
baby.
A 4-1 win in Pittsburgh.
Straight fire, bro.
Second
just telling you.
Straight average start from Mets ace Jacob DeGrom. Five innings, three runs, five hits, two of them homers in Atlanta. That's five long balls in his last two outings. The Braves won the game 7-3 to split their four-game set. In the afternoon, the Astros won in Seattle 3-2 for a three-game sweep, and the Rays took their rubber game from the Jays
8-4. By the way, I want to say something. Hold on. Just back. About the Mets-Braves game last night, it was on TV, right? Primetime Jones. And the thing is, they had in the booth, I don't know if you got a chance to see this or not, they had Henry Aaron in the booth.
Yes.
And it was unbelievable. He was there for a couple of segments. And, you know, he looks great, by the way, a man his age and one of the greatest ever. But him, he had a baseball bat in his hand in the booth, kind of explaining his hitting style. And how great his hands were, and how his, you know, just the way he would hit a ball and his wrist and his hands. And just listening to him talk about that was like amazing.
He told some weird story about how he used to take a cold Coke bottle, I'm assuming is glass back then, and just shave down his bat a little bit with it. And that somehow did something to his bat that he thought was helpful.
I think back then those guys had all these crazy things they did because they had to make. Today, guys have all the greatest equipment and stuff for any kind of edge. Back then, they had nothing. A couple of rocks, a little pile of dirt, and a wood bat. Go get them. Yeah, it was cool though. No, it really was. Just hearing him talk, him and A-Rod, you know, shooting a breeze about hitting baseballs was cool. It was very, very cool. It really was.
Finally, guys, LSU basketball coach Will Wade reinstated from the suspension that began right before the SEC tournament. Wade refused to meet with the school then about being caught on a wiretap talking about apparent payment for a recruit. Wade finally spoke with the school on Friday, said he did nothing, so now he has his job back. Boys.
Well, there you go. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Okay, great.
Appreciate
You're
that.
Welcome. It's a job,
buddy.
My pleasure.
Good job.
You're the best.
Let's hear from Tiger. Victorious yesterday at Augusta National, finishing at 13 under par, winning his 15th major. Here's Tiger talking about after his 4 days and his brilliance and his brilliant final round. Here he is talking about preaching patience.
I was as patient as I think I've been in a number of years out there, especially the last 3 days. The way I was plotting my way around the golf course, kept control of my emotions, my shots, my shot placement.
How about overcoming everything he did for this moment yesterday?
This would be up there. It's one of the hardest I think I've ever had to win, just because of what has transpired the last couple of years of trying to come back and play. And I was close last year a couple times with a chance in the last two major championships, and then I applied what I learned from those two and was able to seal the deal today.
And where do you rank this one?
If you look at it, my first 14 wins in majors were always I had the lead in every one of them, or tied for the lead. To have the opportunity to come back like this, you know, it is probably one of the biggest wins I've ever had, for sure.
Yeah, and what about having all of his family members, his son, his daughter, his mom, girlfriend in attendance as he made that last putt?
To come back here and then to play as well as I did and did all the things, all the little things well this week, and to do it here. This has meant so much to me and my family, this tournament. To have everyone here, it's something I'll never, ever forget.
Yeah, and it was certainly emotional. And you start to then, as we all do, Taz, you know, you get into the idea of, you know, where do you rank it in terms of comeback stories in the history of sports? I mean, you're talking about a victory that led, you know, local news, that last night led national news on ABC. I mean, his victory was one that kind of crossed over, not just for the sports fan, but really societal. You know, at his peak, he was probably the most recognizable athlete in the world. You know, he was asked the question in terms of what he did for golf, and he certainly talked about the popularity of it, but he said he brought a lot of young players into the game. I mean, you think about all the guys. You know, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, all the great stars, the Tony Finaus of the world, all the great young stars that you're seeing in golf today, they all talk about watching Tiger Woods when they were young and how he inspired them to kind of, you know, continue to pursue their dreams of being professional golfers. So you look at where do you rank yesterday's victory? You know, I think it's right there. You know, I was trying to rack my brain in terms of thinking about, you know, great comebacks in professional sports. You know, to you know, we've seen guys come back from, you know, harrowing injuries and be able to play again. But for Tiger to overcome everything that he overcame, Taz, it wasn't just the fact of, you know, everything how public his divorce was with his wife, how his private life was thrown out there, everything with the his sex life and stuff. It wasn't just that, it was everything and all the injuries, and how he lost basically, I thought, that intimidation and fear factor that he had at times as well when he stepped on the golf course. You know, to overcome all that and at 43 years of age and even facing father time to come back and win a tournament. Yeah. I don't think you'll ever see a greater comeback story in sports history.
No, I don't think so either. You might not. Even though, Moose, you know, I don't know if this was the greatest comeback in golf history. if you go back in time, I mean, I was reading this, and I think Woods even talked about it. Ben Hogan.
Yeah, Ben Hogan, true.
Right, he won in 1950. Yep. After 16 months earlier, he was got hit by a bus in his car.
Correct.
Crazy, right? And he came back. Now, different time. I know golf's golf, but this was 1950. But still, I mean, for what, I'm not trying to diminish anything Tiger Woods did. Trust me.
No, I understand.
But the thing is, to do what he did, what Woods did here.
Hogan's a good example.
Yeah, and but Moose, but like to do what Woods did to the point you're making, all this time, all 11 years, 10 years.
About 11 years.
Yeah, but everything in the public. So let's say, I mean, okay, Ben Hogan, we understand he, with the bus, the car, he's trying to save his wife, the Greyhound bus is the car.
Yep.
But there was no social media then. It wasn't like people were following his comeback over 16 months, physical comeback Mr. Hogan had. So this thing with Woods, everything, you're talking about his sex life, you're talking about his injuries. It was
embarrassment of all.
Right. It was all
that presser he had after everything broke. It was comical.
All for public consumption, you know, and still able to redeem himself. Because during that time, right, you know, when Woods was in his prime, you know this better than me, man. He was unflappable, untouchable. He wasn't human. Like, he'd step on the course, and guys were terrified. This guy's just going to smoke everybody. Then once he showed those problems, once he had the injuries, once all this over the years, the past 11 years, he started showing he's human, right? Yesterday, well, we saw a little bit of a nice glimpse of the old Tiger Woods and able to come back. It's a great, great redemption story, great, great story of comeback.
No, it is. And, you know, I want to ask you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, is it the greatest comeback in sports history? Taz brings up a good one with Ben Hogan and what happened to where he came back after that, getting hit by a bus and, 16 months. And, you know, certainly, you know, his comeback probably made even that much more difficult with not the modern advances in medicine
good
that
point.
We do have now. But, you know, there's different, you know, layers to Tiger that were not there with Ben Hogan. So, I mean, it's a remarkable story nonetheless, Taz. And I also think yesterday we saw the intimidation of Tiger, and that's where I thought maybe he should have been, you know, when the fans are reaching out and, you know, trying to get a little bit of a hand slap from Tiger after that round was over, then maybe he should have been a little bit more, welcoming to that. He didn't. That's fine. I mean, to each his own. He's thinking about the moment and everything he went through at that time. But, Taz, you know what? Because I think the fans and the crowd helped him. I think there was an intimidation factor. And I think the fact of how it came, I think the way that final round played out, if you go to a traditional, you know, final round, right, and where you have, you know, that match is ending at 6, 7 o'clock at night, I think the fact that, you know, you had a threesome, they were the final threesome to go out, him, Molinari, and Finau. I think even though Molinari has played some of the best golf at 36 years of age that he has in his entire life, since he changed some things up, including his putting grip and reworked his whole thing on the green. Finau, we know, as a young American, can hit the ball a country mile, and he had an unbelievable round three. I do think, though, the crowds yesterday and the over-exuberation and the noise and Tiger playing relatively clean golf, waiting for somebody else to make that cataclysmic critical mistake and him pouncing, I think led to that victory. He did not have to. It was the first time he came back to win a major after trailing after 54 holes. Has never done that in his career. It wasn't like he was four or five shots back. He wasn't anything like that. He was in the final grouping. He was right there. He's one shot off the pace. But I do think the fact that it was early in the morning, the crowds and him and the quick turnaround from the night before,
right,
even though he had to get up at 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning. Taz, the other guys, you're thinking about, if you're Francisco Molinari, when you tee off on Saturday, you think you're planning probably your day, you're planning your whole weekend that you're going to be playing late in the day on Sunday. And maybe that kind of inexperience, especially at Augusta National, to where you're having the quick turnaround to be able to do this, maybe that helped Tiger Woods in that instance to be able to finish this dream off and win his 15th major.
Could be. Yeah, definitely could be. I mean, did you get a chance to see when they actually presented him with the green jacket in the room there?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, a lot of people might have tuned out. That's why I asked. I saw it, too. So, what's his name? Who won last year?
Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed. Did you notice that when he, you know, the tradition of him, you know, the former one, the last year's winner, putting the jacket on this year's winner. So, Reed puts the jacket on Woods. It was, unless I missed it, it was no handshake, no, like, Reed just put the jacket on and just like walked away. Tiger
never
never went to shake his hand.
No, I know. I
thought that was odd.
Yeah, it was,
and
a,
even,
little,
Moose,
it was
even
a little cold.
It was. Even the kid that was the kid Victor Holford from Oklahoma State who won the low amateur, right?
Yep.
Okay, he was sitting next to Tiger, which was a great honor for him. I thought at least Tiger would have said something to him, like, you know, like a passing the torch type of nice moment to a young college kid. Nothing. Silent Jones just sat there. They asked Jim Nantz.
Hello, friends.
He asked, what's his name, Holford, a question or two. And said, hey, great job, blah, blah, blah. What's next for you? And the kid goes, well, I'll be in class tomorrow.
Right.
but and Woods didn't say nothing. You were saying earlier about Woods, you know, in his, you know, that some people are hating on. I'm starting to think, and maybe, again, this might be more nitpicking, but I found it odd in that room, the way that it went down, especially with Patty Reed. Okay, now I don't think Patty Reed's loved by all these guys. We've heard stories that he wore the green jacket on a regular basis after he won it.
Right.
Like wore it to the Taco Bell and to the McDonald's drive-thru and all that stuff. And it just seemed cold. Was there any heat with these two that we don't know about, maybe?
I don't know. I know he...
Who knows, right?
Well, he got a little bit of grief, Reed did, in terms of how he presented it. Now he's a little bit better. They do one outdoors. On one of the greens.
I didn't see them do it outdoors.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't see that either. Oh. I just saw a picture of it.
Okay.
I didn't see it. That's
they do it twice.
They do it twice, right. They do it one in Butler Cabin.
Butler Cabin, that's what I saw.
For TV.
Mm.
And then they do it outside for everyone so you can get all the pictures.
The people reacting to it.
Right,
yeah.
For the media, right, you can get all the pictures and everything like that. I think past champions are sitting there, standing there as well, and so on and so forth. So they do it outside, but they did say, I guess the rain held off, because they did say the traditional green jacket outdoor ceremony was going to be canceled, but I think they did it yesterday because the rain held off.
I got you.
Because they were concerned about how bad the rain was going to be down in the Atlanta area, or down the Augusta area.
Well, we have it up here in the tri-state area now.
Yeah, now.
All the rain they had down there, we got here.
Exactly right. 855-212-4CBS. It is the greatest comeback story in sports history. Want to hear from you. Tigers victory yesterday at Augusta National. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. We're just getting going here on this Monday morning. It's Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to CBS Sports Radio with the Radio.com app. Free and available in the Google Play and iTunes App Store. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are exact fit for your vehicle. With brands you trust like Brake Best Select, Wagner, Thermo, Quiet, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day.
You familiar with, you collect like sports memorabilia. I picture you because you have such a great history of knowing the games.
No, I have a couple things, but
like Yankee stuff. I could picture you. No,
I'm not a huge collector. No, okay, I mean I have a couple things. I have Torrey, Jeter, signed baseballs, Griffey Jr. signed bat.
You familiar with the Danbury Mint?
Yeah.
They have like a lot of cool figurines.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in the market right now. I might buy a Buffalo Bills Danbury Mint gimmick.
What is it?
Well, it's not a figurine. It's not. I have the Jets, New York Sack Exchange, when I was a Jet fan, but they were my favorite
nice stuff.
Yeah, I still have it on my gimmick in my house. I love the Sack Exchange from back in the day. You know, Salam, Klecko, Gaston, and Marty Lyons. But the Bills have it's kind of weird. It's a pickup truck. It's like a Chevy pickup truck with the Bills logo on it. I had it up on my thing. Here, I'll show it to you. And I'm thinking of getting this thing.
Oh, that's cool.
It looks like a toy, right? It's a lot of money. I mean, for something like that just sits there and does nothing.
You know? Yeah, but that's cool. It's like one of those old school pickup trucks.
Yeah, I'm looking at $250 for this thing here. It's a kind of...
That's not bad.
Yeah, I know, but something that just sits there, a little pickup truck.
But you're going to have it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I could just stare at it for $250.
Well, I mean, but it just shows your Buffalo Bill fandom.
And just put it in a Sack Exchange, which is weird.
But
Jets,
it's
Bills.
Why the pickup truck? I mean, the Sack Exchange for the Jets, you get it. Why? What's the connection between the Bills and the pickup truck?
Bills Mafia. That's what I think it is, because at the back of the pickup truck, it's it's all tailgate and stuff. There's barbecue back there and stuff like that. I think that's what it is.
Is that what it is?
I think so. I don't have that. That's just my theory.
I thought maybe there was some symbolism.
No, it's just about party. It
should be like a Saab.
Yeah. Saab. But they have a Mustang, too, a 66 Mustang, Bill's Mafia. Danbury Mint one, too. They have the Jim Kelly. I'm not a big quarterback guy. They have that, the Danbury. I was looking for Fred Smirlis. I don't remember Fred Smirlis.
Yeah, I remember Fred Smirlis.
The defensive tackle, nose guard. They don't have one on. I can't find it, but I know I might buy this one here. And if I buy it, I'll bring it in. I'll let you guys take pictures with it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm just curious about the symbolism of the truck. That's what I don't understand. Why would you? Because you could actually take that. You could take that truck, and it could be the Redskins truck, and just change the colors, or the Giants, or the Jets, or anything. Why? What's the symbolism of the pickup truck with the Bills?
This is a 1972 Chevy Cheyenne pickup. This is a thing of beauty.
Beautiful pickup truck.
This is a thing of beauty. I know you could slap any logo you want on there, but they didn't. They slapped the Bills logo.
No, I know, but I was curious in terms of, why for Bills Mafia is that symbolic for you guys? Is it? Hard workers every
Blue day. Blue Collar Jones. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's a great question.
I don't know.
It's a super question. And I'm sure on Twitter we're going to get
the
answer.
Put that up on the mantle, someone's going to be like, that's a nice truck. It goes, what's the symbolism there?
Yeah, it's tailgating. This is barbecue. I don't want to. I could get Ralph Wilson Stadium. I don't want a stadium sitting on my
head. No, I don't want that. No, I know. I got you.
I want a stadium. I would get Shea Stadium. That's it.
It's Taz. It's Moose. It's a Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.